Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with John Forrest. And John Forrest has written this book called Help, My Games Stink. And don't be deceived by the title. They do not stink, John. I have read this book, and I really enjoy it. So let's start with a little bit about yourself. I know you are working with kids.
Yes, ma'am.
And you must have a passion for them. But how long have you been working with kids, and how did you know God had pointed you in that direction?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I've been working with kids since I was a kid, when I started college. I started teaching children's church in my church, and that's where I still minister. 25 years ago, I started there, and I love working with kids. I can't imagine, the Lord may move me on into adult ministry, but I think he's gifted me with things that are more suited for kids, and I love it more today than when I started. I seem to be working more with youth pastors now, and trying to encourage youth workers to do more, but I've been doing that for 25 years, and I want to keep going if I can.
Yeah, I think that probably working with kids actually keeps us young.
I think it does. It does put a little gray hair in the beard, I've noticed.
Well, yeah, but it keeps us young at heart, and
it does.
You know.
Absolutely, yes, ma'am.
Now you quote this recent Barna statistic that 60% of our young people grow up in the church and end up leaving. So, in your opinion, why is this such
a
huge attrition?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. One is that God put something inside of us, I think, to make us want to get out on our own. There's some kind of independence bone in us, but at the fall, I think it turned ugly. If I didn't have something in me that made me want to get out of the house, I would still be eating my mom's cooking in her basement right now, I think. But I can remember when I was 16 years old, I was walking down the mall behind my parents. They're the greatest people in the world. And I was thinking, who in the world are these people? And why am I with them? You know, and it was ridiculous. But there's something inside of us that makes us need independence. But the reason that most kids are leaving the church that have been in there is I don't think we've made that real solid connection with them and really helped them find the place where they have made their faith their own and they love the Lord and they're going to serve him with their whole heart. It's those connections that we're missing, I think. And that's why I wrote the book. I want people to be able to have those moments where they can really connect with a student and share in life with them.
I so love this book. See, so I teach grades 2 to 7 this year, and I'm in a little church school, and I have worship teams, and every morning they do an activity. Now, a few years back, I've been teaching for 30 years, so a few years could be 30 years back.
I understand that.
We just, for worship, read a devotional, and then went about our day, prayed.
Right.
Now, you know, the people coming into the school have actually been quite critical. The kids are not being respectful. They're running around the room. They're doing things during worship.
Yes, ma'am.
So when I got this book, I felt like it was kind of God saying, you're on the right track. Because when you provide interactive activities in worship,
ma'am,
you have a chance to connect.
Absolutely. We want to do this little bit of fun well so we can get this connection done and get a little energy done, and then we get down to business. Because certainly we're not going to entertain anyone to heaven, you know. And
that's right.
So the key is making that first connection. I've noticed that people learn better if they like me and they like the person next to them. Have you noticed that?
That's
too?
Right.
And that's what this book does. It gives you little opportunities and tells you what not to say sometimes, because it's no fun to just listen to rules about
it's
a game.
Right.
You want to get right into it and play it.
That's right.
And really have
just
fun so
do
you can
it.
Be done with
and
it.
I like it because then it'll say, don't do the rules, just do this.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, like it puts them all into a disequilibrium, which is a technique that as teachers we often want to use because when a kid is disequal and not when he's – when he's in disequilibrium, he's on notice. What's going to happen?
Right.
What am
yes.
I supposed to do?
I love that. I didn't know that's what
yes.
I loved, but I do.
yes. And so that's built in here. I've talked a little bit to my students. We're going to start going through the book.
Oh, wonderful.
And do the activities.
Well, great.
The thing that I always have them do is they have to come up with the analogy. You know, what in this activity, after they've done the activity, what is the analogy? Can they tie it to some spiritual lesson? It might be as simple as, you know, you need to obey God.
Yes, ma'am. You're reminding me of a game that I love. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll have maybe a bag of candy or little prizes,
mm-hmm.
and I'll have a student stand in front of me, and I'll say, all right, I'm going to throw you prizes until you say stop. But if you ever drop one, then you lose everything. You have to tell me to stop before you drop anything. But if you drop it, you lose it. So then I'll start throwing candy at them. And I've never had anyone stop me before they drop something. Isn't that something? And I call it greed. Because
yeah.
And then we talk about how, what if you would have just caught maybe two and been content? You could have
yeah.
taken it with you. Why are we like this? Why are we so greedy? We always mm-hmm. look at the bag and see, oh, that next piece. I'll say stop with that next piece. And I love being able
yeah.
to make applications like that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know that our listeners are going, what are they talking about? Well, we're talking about your book called Help, My Games Stink, 52 Amazing Games for Youth Ministry, a fantastic resource for anybody who works with kids, has kids,
absolutely.
The parent is a grandparent.
Sure.
And
yes.
that's just about the condition of all of us.
I think so. Adults like playing games too, I've noticed.
Yeah. So how did you come up with these
well,
games?
In that 25 years, I've been writing down things over the years. If I saw something fun at a camp, some of it's a collection. I made up a few of these, but a lot of it's just a collection of different things that I've seen. I mean, who invented rock, paper, scissors? You
yes.
know, you can't really go back and thank them. But we play a game called Gorilla Man Banana where you have to, it's rock, paper, scissors basically, but you use your whole body. You get back to back and then turn around and you're either a gorilla, a man, or a banana. And a gorilla beats a man because gorillas can beat
yeah.
up men. Men beat bananas because men right. can control a banana and you can control a gorilla with a banana. So
yes.
it's a lot of fun. And I don't know who to give credit to for that kind of game, but it's in here. And so it's kind of a collection.
Yeah, it's like recipes. You can't really
exactly
copyright a recipe, but you can copyright a cookbook
right,
with
right.
all the recipes
right.
in it. And and there's not a whole lot of books like this. I mean, I might find a PE games.
Yes, ma'am.
But small, quick games that you can incorporate
sure.
into your worship time with the kids.
Right, right.
Fantastic.
Well, I appreciate that. That's what I was trying to do because I hear from my youth minister friends and my teacher friends, my whole family is teachers, and my sister, she taught special needs for I don't know how long, and she used it with those kids, and now she uses it with Sunday school, and you're right, just being able to grab it really quick and say, oh man, I need something with no props and no prep, and
yeah.
they're right there, and it's nice to have it handy.
So let's get back to the questions. What do you see as the biggest challenge for our young people?
I was just talking to someone about my daughter. She's 12 years old, and I thought that I was going to wait until she was 15 to get her a phone, but she started soccer, and I needed to know when practice was over. And our phone company had a deal, so we gave in, and we have bought her a phone, and I haven't seen her since then. No, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
she's a good girl, and we know when to put it up and things like that. But kids are so plugged in that way, they're unplugged
mm-hmm.
from face-to-face conversation, and it's troubling. But that just makes face-to-face connections
That's right.
all that more effective. They don't have many times where they have a conversation with someone. They'll be. I took my niece and a girl in my youth group. I had to take them for a ride the other day to get from one place to another. And they were texting. They were talking to one another in the car by
yes.
text. So that just, we need connection. God's relational. We're relational beings. We need one another, and it's a challenge to really connect, because kids don't know how to do that because of cell phones and different things that we have like that. It's difficult.
Yes, and I think that those of us that recognize this, we almost have to do more connecting to make up for the lack of other connecting.
Absolutely. I agree.
In my little school, I have a number of children that are not living with their parents. They're either living with a grandparent.
Yes, ma'am.
And the grandparents don't know what's... They're not into the technology.
Sure.
They're just happy that their grandchild's being quiet.
Right. So. I tell you, when I got my daughter her phone, I stay up to date on everything that I can about phones and how to put safeguards on there. But I couldn't keep up with it. So, like you say, how can we expect a grandparent,
yes,
who might not be as tech savvy to be into that? It's difficult. It's a hard
really
thing.
It really is.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we have to take a break right here. But when we come back, I have more questions about games that maybe hype up kids and games that relax them, if you thought about that. So we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I am here with John Forrest, and he wrote this fabulous book called Help, My Games Stink, 52 Amazing Games for Youth Ministry. And we'd been talking before the break about the real sincere need to connect. I mean, God has wired us to connect. At the same time, there is a type of connection going on with technology, but a lot of times the important adults are not as involved.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, in your book, all these wonderful activities, did you think about which ones maybe energize groups and maybe others calm them down?
Well, when you said that, I thought it would have been such a good idea to have a energizing and a calming down section. You're thinking like a teacher. I needed more of that. I'm just thinking about, as a youth pastor, when my teens come in sleepy, getting
them
fired up.
You're thinking about energizing.
Yes, ma'am. I need to think more like a teacher, I think. That is a great question. I think that one of my favorite games in the book, it's the last one in there, and it's a game where I have everyone find a partner. You raise your hand and wiggle your fingers until you get a partner, and when you find that partner, I give you two options, maybe cat or dog, and then I'll count to three, and you both at the same time say cat or dog, and if your answers match, you stay with that partner. If they don't match, you find a new partner, and at the end of that game, we'll do maybe 15 things. I'll say burrito or taco, you know, ketchup or mustard, and we'll see who has the longest winning streak with one person at the end of that. And every time I have the kids sit down from that game, it takes 2 minutes to get things calmed down. But it's a good, that's a good thing. That's why I love it, because they're making these connections. I didn't know you like cats more than dogs. What are you doing? You know, and they talk to people they wouldn't have normally talked to. And I love that, and I love that it takes a minute to calm down. But I know that not every class has the opportunity. You're not able to do that. And So I'll need to look around a little bit to find the calm down games. We have a lot of the build up games, but there are a few, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it's not all. I think when I talk with my teachers, we'll say, you know, we do quite a bit now to try to build community.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Want students to connect quickly. So at the beginning of the school year, we'll do a whole day of nothing but community building games and activities.
Sure.
And then we spend the rest of the year trying to stop them from talking to each other.
That is a good
you
point.
Know?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I used to be frustrated in that 2 minutes where I was, come on, everybody, let's calm down. Quit talking to your neighbor. But I've seen now that, well, hey, the game worked.
Yes.
They're actually talking to someone. I know there's a limit to that, but that is
yes,
true.
Yes, there is a limit, and we want our students to be respectful.
Sure.
You know, there is it's a biblical principle.
Yes,
there's
ma'am.
A time to laugh, a time to cry,
absolutely.
A time to talk,
absolutely.
Time to be quiet.
My friend has one rule, and it is respect. Respect
yes.
God, respect one another, respect the building. That's a good rule, I
yes.
think, to have. It kind of covers a lot of different things. I like that.
I had a teacher, and he says, my only rule is play fair.
Huh.
And the kids really resonated with
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Playing fair.
I'm a rule guy myself, too. And I have two rules. My rules are do right, get candy. That's what they are. And the kids seem to like them quite a bit. My dad has always said, do right. Do right if the stars fall, you know. And so that's kind of my rule. But I added get candy. Do right was dad's.
I like that. So as you're ministering to, you said now you're working with other youth leaders. What
yes,
is
ma'am.
Probably the biggest inhibitor that you see or the biggest challenge that they're facing?
Well, that is a great question. I think that a lot of those guys are younger and they have a little trouble finding their place. You know, they feel a little intimidated. They want to sit at the big table. And I've tried to encourage them to see that the kids' table is pretty fun. You know, you don't have to take responsibility for some of those really big issues. And I try to encourage them to just kind of slow down and do that. But as far as this kind of thing is concerned, they just need encouragement. They need to know that someone is around that they can talk to. And it's connections, just like we've been talking about. It's all about hearing them. I used to think whenever I was talking to someone that I had to have all the answers. People just need to have a little outlet sometimes. And that's what I've found that I'm able to do for a lot of youth workers, because I need it too.
Yes.
You know, I need to just be able to talk to someone and who can understand and maybe not try to fix everything. And just those connections are so important is what I found.
Yeah, I think when I think of some of the ways I've connected with my students is listening. And then when they're, you know, getting teared up,
yes, ma'am.
It gets me teared up, too.
Oh, I know.
And
it.
I don't have any answer for them, but they seem to be so comforted by the fact that I would just cry with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't be intimidated by not having all the answers when a kid wants to talk to you. If it gets heavy duty, refer people, you know. But as far as having an opportunity to talk, I love it. And almost every Wednesday night, somebody will catch me and say, hey, can I talk to you a minute? And I used to be terrified of that, but now I realize I don't have to have all the answers. I just
yes.
need to listen and be there with them and help them find the answer if there is an answer. But most of the time, it's just a listening ear.
Yes, yes. And that is a hard thing. It's a parent, teacher. You think you know, you naturally are fixing things all the time. But
yes, ma'am.
There's some things you just can't fix.
Absolutely, absolutely. I feel the same way, and that's... I don't know if that's a freeing thing to realize or if it's frustrating. I think it's freeing. You know, it's kind of sad that there's not an answer for everything. I've been trying to help a young lady this morning who her boyfriend committed suicide recently. And I don't have the answers for that. But when we got done talking, she thanked me for listening, you know. And that is bigger than I am. I can't help the needs that she has. But I was trying to help her walk through it, you know.
Yes.
And I think that's what the key is.
That really is. So you write that students don't absorb many of the words adults say. How does doing these things or how does that help? the kids hear what the adults say. Or maybe it's not
you
even.
You said it earlier. I never have put my finger on it. I need to read from you what you were talking about earlier. I love to be kind of surprised by something. You know, how did you put that earlier?
Disequilibrium.
Yes, that's it. I love that. I love for someone, I'm over here talking, and all of a sudden there's a firecracker over here. And that's really what gets me. And that's the way I try to, the gospel is the most important thing that I have. It's the only thing that I have that's going to make a difference. It's, and we have thought over the years as youth pastors, well, I need to get the newest game system to get kids in here. But kids have game systems. And that's not what feeds their soul anyway. So the gospel is what I have, and being able to really get their attention so that they can hear the most important thing ever is what I'm trying to do. Now, getting their attention is the tricky part, you know, and sometimes it's in smaller groups, sometimes it's in little pieces, and I love using these games or other things to throw off that equilibrium to really say, hey, look over here.
This is
what you need to have. These are the words of life. Don't miss this. Yeah.
As you were saying, look over here. Well, really, that is, you know, look at Jesus.
Absolutely.
Look over here. I mean, it's the huge message that was throughout the New Testament as the disciples, come and look. Come and
I
look
love
and
that.
See.
I love that. I think, was that Andrew who said, come and see.
Come
and
see.
I love that. The gospel can handle itself.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? It is enough. And when I share the message, I need to do my best. That's why I want to do my fun time well, so we can get down to business, and I want it to be as clear as possible. But I don't have to help the gospel. It is powerful.
and providing these opportunities to interact. Children pick up on your spirit much more even than adults do.
Yes, ma'am.
Children are very sensitive. You can just walk into a room and you will have children's attention just by your spirit. I don't know how that works, really, but
yes, ma'am.
I've seen it over and
too.
Over again.
I have, too. I bet you are the most incredible teacher. I would love to have had you in class. I could just tell by your spirit that
my
you're
students
so sweet.
Think so. They well, think so, and I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
Well, great.
They think so. And they said, don't ever grow old.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we pour into our students the best that we can because
yes,
we
ma'am.
Know that what they have ahead of them on this planet is going to be tough.
It is. Yes,
and
ma'am.
So we need to arm them with every single thing. And this is a wonderful tool. It makes worship time so fun. It builds
Good.
Community instantly and relationships.
I sure
and
hope
from
so.
From that, we, of course, are pointing them to a relationship
Absolutely.
With Jesus
Get
Christ.
Down to business. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, we've come to the end of the show. It went by so fast. Thank you for writing this book.
Well,
I'll let you know as we start doing it in my school how it turns out.
Wonderful.
And thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
One last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.